It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Yes, indeed. Inside the Game Bar and Grill, come enjoy some food, gambling, and Thursday night football. Obviously, coming up 7 o'clock, we'll have that also. WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app when the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens. And some breaking news for fantasy football owners. If you drafted Christian McCaffrey, number one overall, you are finally going to get him back. The wait is over, folks. He will. Christian McCaffrey make his debut Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for San Francisco.
Man, it's been a long wait. And, you know, listen.
Remember, this was training camp, too, against the Saints. That's why the part of the joint practices were called off.
You know, with McCaffrey, we've kind of been down this road before when he was in Carolina.
Right.
He missed a lot of time with lower body issues, if it's hamstring, knee. And then now he's got Achilles issues on both. Man, I wish him well. He's a good dude in life and come from a football family and hope he can hold up because he is a difference maker out on the field when he's healthy. Unbelievable talent, you know. But the guy that took over, Trey Mason's pretty doggone good too, man. He's a special guy. If he's healthy, he's the best back in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely going to be an injection of some energy for that San Francisco team. But they've been staying afloat, obviously, but you're not the same team without him. But, man, oh, man, like you said, it has been forever since we've seen McCaffrey in action.
Yeah, and can they make a run late?
Yeah.
You got the Cardinals. Now, who put that on the dance card? The day 5-4, I think, at this stage. And they leading the West. My goodness. Like I say, nobody would have picked that. Nobody would have picked it. But, you know, the 49ers are 4-4, sort of Rams. And I think Seattle's got
right
four
too,
wins,
yeah,
too, but they got one more loss. They 4-5. Man, Seattle, man, they break up all over the place. And Geno has not played well this year. Boy, he's like Derek Carr. It's been the stock market all over the place. But the Rams can get healthy. I would like to see what happens. 49ers, Rams get healthy down the stretch. And can Arizona, most people, other than Buda Baker, I'm going to take him off. Name me some of the other starters on defense.
No, yeah.
And Bobby was like, Mike, I don't know. Okay, that goes to show you they're not a really talented defense, but they play hard. They're aggressive to the football. They're trying to rebuild there. But, boy, do they have some offensive weapons with Kyler Murray. And, you know, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner at running back. And, man, they've been explosive this year, putting points up on the board. I think they one of the teams, it's over 200.
Yeah.
Now, they've given up over 200 also. So they've scored 207 and gave up 214. So they're putting some points up on the board. And, man, Kyler, he's really having a strong season for him.
Yeah, and he was dogged, obviously, a ton because of, you know, his injury history, the issues with him in video games, apparently. But he's really come out this season and had a pretty nice year right now. And you mentioned with Marvin Harrison Jr. over there, like to see that hookup keeps him improving.
Yeah, you can see with him, he had the start of the season like I thought Brian Thomas would.
Okay.
I thought Marvin would be ready to roll in the NFL, and it would take Brian a few games to get used to, because Brian's really a football puppy. He didn't start playing football until he was a senior in high school. And then now, all of a sudden, Marvin's making it, and with 28 catches, almost 16 yards a catch.
Five TDs.
But, oh, you know, think about that. 28 catches, and five of them end up in the end zone.
Yeah.
And so you can see that connection there. Well, boy, they got a tight end, too, field to leave it. Trey McBride.
Sure.
My goodness.
He's a problem.
Man, he's one heck of a player. I think he's got over, I think it's 45 catches. Steve, I don't know.
Yeah, 45 receptions, 481 yards. No touchdowns, surprisingly, though.
Yeah, but, man, he can move the sticks.
Right.
And then that's the important thing. And James Conner, man, what an unbelievable story with him as a runner, receiver, and, you know, beating the cancer gig. And you just see this guy. He gives you everything he has on every play. So, man, every week you're like, okay, this is when the bubble gets burst for Arizona, but yet it hasn't. But again, defensively, I think if there's a downfall, it's there for them. And I think the Rams are a little better defensively, and certainly the 49ers are better defensively than Arizona.
Yeah, now I'm cheating. I'm looking at all the Arizona Cardinals roster and stats, going through some of these names on the defense, and still I'm like, who? What?
Yeah, it's a who's who. Now, the Zaven Collins, I think a lot of people know.
Right. That's
a guy who played linebacker there, was a really good player. But, man, the other guys, you know, Jalen Thompson, Mack Wilson. You know, so it's a who's who, and they don't have that standout guy other than Buda Baker. But I think they know that they've got the pieces in place offensively, so this offseason they can concentrate on the draft and in free agency and getting defensive players.
Got to give it to the head coach over there, too. Even last year, they played
hard. And they played hard.
They were a problem last season.
They played hard.
That's the Eagles.
Yeah, and you know, that guy, the Eagles are still, they lose their offensive and defensive coordinator, and they let your boy take over. Man, God bless him, Steve. He's still got a job, and they got so talented.
Man,
it's almost like though every week you're waiting for him to screw something up, and he tries.
Right, they're winning despite the head coach, which is wild.
I don't see how he survives. You know, to be honest with you, because Mr. Lurie in the past has not had a man. He fired Andy Reid, but I think he wanted this coach to work out. He brings you to a Super Bowl. You came close to winning it.
Boom.
But, man, you lose the two coordinators, and they ain't been the same.
No, for sure.
And on the field, you can see it. There's a lot of haphazard stuff. And, you know, Sting brought it up when we had him. Okay, in a driving rainstorm, he sends the kicker out there. Hey, kid, get out there and kick that 57-yarder. What?
Come on, right.
Man. But it's every week like that, so he is fun to man. If you had to cover him, boy, like my boy John Kincaid,
yeah. Oh,
he's like he said, every week is an adventure with this guy.
Well, at least it makes it entertaining, like you said.
Well, they ain't boring,
right?
Okay, because if you bad and you boring, you get fired.
And in that market too, ooh, hey. Oh,
man. But they not bad, and they certainly not boring.
What we're going to do is take a break and get more into our LSU-Alabama discussion. The managing editor of Tide Illustrated, Tony Sakalis, will join us after the break, breaking down what's going to happen in this matchup Saturday night, Death Valley. We're going to have Olivia Dunn, Paul Skeens as the pickers before the game on College Game Day.
That'll and be Nick Saban
in,
there.
In the How house, too. That? So tons of excitement going into it. And the live Tiger on the field. Woohoo! Coming back after the break, we'll be talking Tigers versus Tide right after this on WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Part of that big weekend of games here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app will, of course, be LSU versus Alabama. Everyone's been talking about it and gearing up for the big matchup Saturday night in Death Valley. To help us talk about the Tide side of things, Tony Sakalas, managing editor of Tide Illustrated, joining us now. Tony, how you been?
I've been doing well. I'm ready for this weekend's matchup.
Tony, last year when LSU played Alabama, and, you know, certainly a big part of it, Jaden Daniels, and then he gets his clock cleaned in the third quarter, and that was game, set, match. But with Jalen Milroe, if we'd have been playing two-hand touch, he'd have gained as many yards and scored as many touchdowns as playing tackle. LSU didn't come close to him this year. What I am watching and breaking down tape of Bama over the last couple weeks, Milroe's not been the same runner, almost like he keeps himself in that little pocket. Now, every once in a while, he'll drift out and he'll make a run. But last year, he scared you so much because when he hit that stride, he was running away from people. Is that something, you know, maybe is being taught to him? Stay a little longer in the pocket. Try to find your receiver. Don't take that big hit downfield.
No, I think it's actually the opposite. If you look at it early in the season, he was running, you know, pretty well, and actually maybe even more, kind of like what he was in that LSU game. And then there was a couple of weeks, you know, coincidentally when Alabama was struggling, that he kind of went away from that, and he, you know, he held the ball a little bit too long in the backfield, maybe looking for a bigger plays. I think really what's being taught to him is, you know, going through these, he has a better understanding of what he's looking for at the line. And then if that's not there, it's really just to tuck it and run. I think, you know, the struggles that you were talking to are maybe, you know, him getting flustered, maybe trying to do too much instead of just, you know, I think what Kalen DeBoer put it as is just, you know, kind of almost forgetting what he did, what makes him such a special quarterback, you know, and a lot of that is his athleticism and, you know, his ability to just run past people. And that will open up the stuff for him in the passing game that he's looking for, but he can't lose track of what makes him special, you know, and that's what, you know, really when he broke out against LSU, that was kind of the game he broke out. And that's what was happening was, you know, he was just running past LSU and that opened up some plays downfield as well. I think that's just what he's got to do. But the problem with Jalen is I think he gets a little flustered when he gets a lot of pressure and then that kind of alters his decision making. So really, you know, from an LSU standpoint, you know, they've got some pass rushers that can be a big impact in this matchup, and I think that's probably the game plan that I would do is, you know, kind of try to get in his face, get him into, sacks or, you know, throwing the ball into bad situations. That's kind of been the game plan on him.
Would sugar rush him, in essence, keep him in the pocket like a teacup and force him to make the throw. Years ago, John Chavis, the old chief, he did that against Johnny Manziel. Man, Johnny, complain. Man, they're not blitzing me. And that's what he wanted, because if you blitzed him, then he'd find a lane and he'd take off running downfield. Tony, one of the things, and we've seen it here, some great receivers, when you talk about Jamar Chase and certainly Jefferson and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., I've never seen a freshman make this big of an impact in the SEC like what Ryan Williams is. has done so far. And I'm old enough, I saw Lynn Swann at USC. That's who he reminds me of. His body contortion, his ability to adjust to a ball that's not quite right, and he'll go up and make a play. With people around him, he catches the football. And, you know, he's almost like a ballerina going up and making that catch. Now, you guys have had some first-round pick receivers, too, that are good. I don't remember a freshman that good in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't either. I will say that Julio Jones was very good as a freshman. He didn't necessarily have the passing game or the quarterback to take advantage of it. So maybe Julio. But I think if you go back just from what I can remember from Alabama football, and you know it's really from 2008 and on. You know, I think maybe Julio Jones, Will Anderson, and now Ryan Williams are guys that I think could, after one season of college, play in the NFL. And actually perform well in the NFL. I think that, like, if you took Ryan Williams, I mean, he's still got some things to refine, but if you took him, and I think he'd be a first-round pick, and I think he'd be an impact player in the NFL next year. I felt the same way, a totally different player, but I felt the same way with Will Anderson Jr. You kind of look at just the body build of a Julio Jones, and you kind of think the same. You know, he might have not looked at stat-wise, but you kind of think that maybe he could have done it. But there's not a lot of kids that you can say that. You know, even the kids that are surefire number one picks, you know, in the future, they're not ready after 1 year. But I truly believe that Ryan Williams, you know, if you dropped him in the NFL right now, he'd be a productive receiver.
The secondary, man, I've covered SEC football almost 40 years, and all certainly through the Nick era. And Coach Saban, I can't remember another secondary that has not played too well like what Alabama has. And I get it. You lost a first-round pick corner. The Saints have the other guy in Kool-Aid McKinstry on the – and then you had a big freshman All-American transfer out. Teams have been going after that secondary. I suspect that's what LSU's going to do also, that they're going to try to attack the two corners and maybe try to hit a deep pattern downfield also against Alabama. In that time you've covered it, have you seen a secondary play as poor as what Alabama's played so far this year?
Yeah, I guess the thing there is it's weird, but I mean maybe not. You know, I'd have to kind of go back and really think about it. But I think when you look at this secondary, the thing that stands out is the depth isn't there. So that's kind of a lot of teams with the transfer portal. But like, not only are you losing your starters, I mean, you had the guys that maybe were more experienced, and you had like a Trey Amos leave for Ole Miss. You know, that one stung for Alabama because he was ready to step up. And he would have been the guy. Now he's a starter at Ole Miss. He had some of those other guys, too, that are just more experienced, leave for better opportunities elsewhere. Now you've got some, like, five-star kids. I mean, I think Jalen Agbaje is going to be great. And I think Xavier Brown's going to be, you know, great. But, you know, starting a true freshman, I don't care if they're a five-star true freshman, starting them right away, it's gonna have those growing pains, you know? So, it is poor at times, and I think that, you know, it's definitely something else you can attack. What I would say is the key to this one is, you know, will they have time to hit him deep? Because I think if you give Garrett Nussmeier time to hit the secondary deep, you know, especially with Lacy and the receivers and Anderson and the receivers that LSU has, it could be deadly. You know, you could really, I mean, this Alabama secondary has gotten beat deep, and LSU has the weapons to expose you deep. It's going to be down to, I think, you know, guys like LT Overton, guys like Q Robinson for Alabama, two edge rushers. Are they going to be able to kind of pressure Nussmeier, get him into the same thing I kind of talked about with Milroe, but more in a pocket? You know, are they going to be able to force him into some decisions and maybe just not give him time to let those plays develop? Because if Nussmeier has time and you look at that offensive line that LSU has, you know, it's tough to beat. But if you give that guy time against the secondary, it's going to be tough. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Tony, looking at this game for you, is there anybody that maybe isn't being talked about enough going into this matchup that you could think for Alabama that could be a game wrecker for them against LSU?
Yeah, especially with the weather, I wouldn't be surprised if this one, you know, turns into a little bit more of a ground game. And, you know, we'll see because, you know, we've kind of – Alabama fans have been, you know, begging for more traditional just running back runs all season. They kind of got that against Missouri, and they really moved the ball well against Missouri. They ran for 271 yards. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it's like maybe a Justice Haynes or a Jam Miller just kind of has a big game. You know, if they kind of, you know, try to establish that running game, especially if it's kind of sloppy, you know, if it's raining at all, you know, and try to open that, you just kind of control the game that way. Also, you know, Alabama is not usually in the business of slowing things down, but, you know, if they have the opportunity, you know, if you're going against a track meet with some of the explosive weapons that LSU has, and you can run the ball, and maybe that's something that you could use a little bit. Maybe just keep your defense kind of rested on some big drives. I mean, third downs are so key for Alabama. That's something they struggled with on defense, is stopping third downs, and then, you know, getting them sometimes on offense. So I think that's going to be big. So for Alabama, I think staying out of those, you know, third and longs is going to be huge. And then when you look at how do you do that, a lot of times it's getting those productive runs. So I think Justice Haynes is coming off one of the best times I've ever seen him run was against Missouri. So let's see if, you know, maybe he can build that up. That's kind of my under-the-radar pick that I would pick. It's hard to call him an under-the-radar player because I think he has the talent to play on Sundays eventually, but you know, he's not necessarily somebody you'd talk about right off the bat.
Tony, you just made LSU fans, if they're in a car, kind of drive off into the ditch. Because if this becomes a running game, man, we got some issues here. LSU has not been able to run. Now, Caden Durham has kind of by himself hit a couple of big shots. But this team can't move anything up front. They've tried all kind of different looks and everything else. But I think we got spoiled because of one dude. Jaden Daniels. And you thought, yeah, I mean, okay, we're going to be able to run the football this year. No, Jaden did that improvisational. That's why you got a guy that rushed for over 1,100 yards. But he did a lot of that on his own. Now they've got to move people up front. LSU is not real physical in the trenches. They don't get hardly squat running the football. It would be a surprise to me. A real surprise if LSU could run the football Saturday night. That would be really, really surprising to me.
And Alabama's decent at stopping it, too. So, I mean, that's you talk about maybe how did they control that. Is like, you know, if you make LSU super reliant on the pass, I think that could be a deadly, you know. If you just shut down the run, I think it's going to, you know, open things up for the secondary to maybe be able to, you know, drop back a little bit and have some more room to work. I don't know. I think Alabama is pretty good at stopping the run. I think they've got two really able linebackers. You've got Dante Lawson and Jahad Campbell. Jahad Campbell, man, is this really come on strong. I wouldn't call him a first-round pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's an early second-rounder. He's just a guy that just rose up, you know, kind of shot up the stock on him is really high. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that'd be a concern for LSU. You know, you can't run the ball. Alabama is not necessarily the team that I would look for to break that habit or to kind of get in, to improve. I think for both teams, they're coming off of an open week, so maybe some of those, you know, you look at some of that interior push. Maybe they're able to kind of figure out some stuff that maybe some wrinkles that would help them out. I think that can go both ways, you know. But I think, you know, LSU fans are probably right to worry about that, just like Alabama fans are right to worry about going up against the pass. I mean, those are two areas of weakness for both sides.
Yeah, both are flawed. Believe me, both teams are flawed. Tony, man, LSU looked as though they had gotten over the special teams hump. They were the kicking game, punting, everything seemed to be okay. They played Texas A&M, and three of them, you know, I think the first one, kind of a high snap. They did get it down, and then Ramos, you know, he shanked it. And then they got one of them. He hits the holder in the head. The other part was the holder's fault on the second one. The deep snapper's fault. Kind of tell us a little bit about Alabama's kicking game. Now, you guys had a kicker. He was unbelievable, and he's kicking in the NFL today. But the punting and kicking game for the tie, because it may come down to that. It may come down to a kick late to win it one way or another.
I can't tell you too much because they haven't really had opportunities to kick. You know, that they go out and they get the Lou Groza Award winner from last year and Graham Nicholson from Miami of Ohio, but I think he's only like 2-4 or 3-4 or something like that. The joke is that, you know, you got this, you know, primo kicker, and he doesn't really ever kick the ball. Alabama just hasn't attempted that many field goals. He doesn't have quite the leg that that Will Reichert has. I think, you know, if it came down to like 55-yard field goal or something like that, I think Alabama might be in a little bit of trouble. They went for a long field goal, I believe it was against Tennessee, and they missed it. He's just he doesn't do kickoffs. They got a separate guy to do kickoffs. So I mean, like, he's a really accurate kicker, though. I mean, he won the Lou Groser Award. He's, you know, only missed one kick last year. So I don't think they're you know, lacking in that regard. And then punter wise, man, I think that might be Alabama's best position. I mean, James Burnup is somebody that you talk about, somebody that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, James Burnup is a former Australian Rules football player. This is only his fourth year playing American football. I mean, man, he looks like a great punter. I don't keep up with the other punters around the nation, but it wouldn't be a surprise for me to see James Burnup also make the league. I mean, he's consistently booming, you know, 50-yard punts and 55-yard punts and pinning people inside the 20. And the thing about him, though, is that he might boom, like, you know, a 48-yarder, and you're not returning it because it's so high up in the air. So he really kind of neutralizes, you know, the other team's return game, and is able to flip the field. He's been super reliable. Might be a couple of, you know, bad kicks, but I would say for the most part, he's just somebody that Alabama can totally count on. So it's hard to get excited about a punter, but, you know, at the same time, you're right. Those can influence the game for sure.
He's an unconventional Australian kicker because he gets height on his kicks.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot because we've had him here with the Saints. It's kind of a low ride. Okay, it don't go real far, but there's no return because, you know, it's up enough that you can get under it. But this guy, he's different because of his ability to put some height on those punts, and that's what's impressive about him.
Yeah, it's different too. I think a lot of that might have to do with, you know, with Nick Saban. I don't think he liked the whole running Aussie style. I think they tried that. I've heard rumors that they tried that once a few times in practice, and it messed up, and he instantly just threw it out the window. So he kind of made James Burnham more of a traditional style punter. But James can still put a spin on the ball. You know, a lot of times you'll see even his shorter kick, they'll bounce in that Aussie way where they kind of like, you think, oh man, he shanked that one for, you know, 38 yards, and then it bounces 12 more yards, and he's automatically, you know, all of a sudden you got a 50 yarder. It looks the same on paper, right? but he doesn't do a lot of that running to the side. I wonder if it hadn't been for Saban, if maybe he did kind of punt a little bit more like that typical Australian, you know, punter. Who's the guy that LSU had back in 2009? That killed Alabama in the game of the century. Somebody like that, you know.
Tony, definitely appreciate the time from you. Check out all of his work at the TideIllustrated.com. I'm sure LSU fans and Tide fans can get plenty of information there leading up to Saturday's kickoff. Hope you enjoy the game, and we'll be talking to you soon, Tony. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, no problem.
Tony Sakalas, managing editor of Tide Illustrated. LSU and Alabama fans, go check out his work there. We're going to take a break, wrap things up right after this, right here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking NFL, been talking college. Want to remind everybody to tomorrow, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, Alan Waldell, be live at Covington High School as the Lions take on St. Paul's in the crosstown rivalry game. If St. Paul's wins, they'll clinch the District 6-5A championship outright. If Covington wins, they'll win a share of the district crown, plus updates from the Enterprise Staffing Catholic League game of the week. That's Holy Cross at Brother Martin. Holy Cross needs a win to keep its playoff hopes alive. A win for Brother Martin would boost the Crusaders' playoff seed. Also reports from the district 10-2A championship game between South Plaquemine and Isidore Norman. Newman, Amit, and Jewel Sumner, and North Shore at Slidell. That's all on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup tomorrow night, starting 7 o'clock, going till 10:30, WWL-FM on 105.3, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. Got to bring up two guys, big one tonight. Rummel at Carr. Looking forward to heading home and catching the rest of that.
So you're picking, picking Rummel tonight?
I'm picking Rummel tonight. I'm going with Raiders.
Hold on. Let me see how much money I got in my wallet here.
I know it's a tough matchup and wish I could head out to this game. Definitely looking forward to seeing it, though. I heard Carr is an absolute beast on that football field, man.
He got some pretty
speed.
He got
too.
Some pretty good players on that football team. But one thing with Rummel, man, they are so well coached. And, you know, Coach Bonk, he squeezed all the vitamin C out of that orange. Man, he does a good job. And so, yeah, it'll be a great game tonight. And, Steve, I think the good news for LSU is, and I've mentioned this before during the show, that C.J. Daniels probable after practicing today. And I was telling you, and when I watched the tape, and Garrett gets the ball back from the snap. And his first peek, if CJ's there, is right at him. And so, you know, with Kyron, he gets a lot of bracket coverage. So he's trying to beat that bracket coverage. But he takes that long peek towards CJ. CJ does all the dirty work, okay? He'll run that short intermediate route. He'll catch the football, take a big hit. Now, he's got a little scoot after the catch, but he's not considered a burner. And other thing he can do well, man, if you throw a pitch out there, he can block.
Right.
Now, you ain't got, you know, because some of these receivers, they don't even get in the way. At least Kyron, he kind of gets in the way. The one thing I told Kyron this already, hey, you got to leave him go. Okay, he's trying to block downfield, but he holds on to him. the ball carries 5 yards downfield, and he's still got to hold him. No, you got to let him go. C.J. Daniels is a big part if LSU is going to beat Alabama because Garrett trusts. He's going to be in the right spot when he needs a play. When he needs him, I know where he's at. I can move the chains. Also, too, Chris Hilton's snap count went up in practice. But Brian Kelly sort of tempered expectations on how much he could play because he said he's missed so much time. So you wonder about the timing. And we saw it against A&M, not once, but twice. Man, Garrett Nussmeier puts a ball up in the air. Tre'Davious Green, he's 6 foot six and a half. He mistimed the jump. He's going up against a 5 foot ten corner.
Yeah.
And had he timed the jump, it's a completion. The other one was Chris Hilton. Chris stopped running and jumped up for the ball. Man, my old neighbor Joe Clark, he didn't pass away, but that would have done him in right then and there because he could not stand to have a receiver stop running and jump. He was like, keep running. You don't need to jump up in the air. The timing there because of the missed time, and with Tre'Davious, he's a new receiver. He's playing a new position, and the timing was not there because you missed out on a couple big plays there against A&M early.
Winding things down here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill right next to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Not number three, not number two like the Cajun Cannon says.
Number one.
Hopefully the Saints can get back to being number one or at least close to it this weekend, taking on those Dirty Birds. We'll be back to close things out right after this here on WWL. Yes, indeed. We're getting ready for Thursday Night Football about to start here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Bengals versus Ravens. You can also come to the Treasure Chest Casino, watch the game, have something to eat, place a bet on the game as well. Really convenient, awesome spot here, Mike. I can't talk enough about it, honestly. The Game Bar and Grill, great setup and good food, good company.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell game time's right around the corner. That long line the place that bets is almost like last call. You would know that.
Exactly.
One time. Last call. And so they were racing to place that bet before the game starts up.
Definitely want to thank everybody here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Always so hospitable. Appreciate you and enjoy our time. We'll be coming back next week. Tomorrow, fans in the pro, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes at the First American Bank in Vashri. Check it out. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned. WWL, who dat?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com